I'm all about Zombie Takeout.
I like Zombie Takeout.
You don't like Zombie Takeout, Frank. That's like a Muslim saying that he likes Muhammad. You accept Zombie Takeout.
What's up? Welcome to episode 215 of
Zombie Takeout.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scott O.
And without any further ado, let's just get straight to this week's movie, which is from 2012, God Bless America. And of course, the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Pandering. Oh, come on. It's just saying what everybody else is thinking.
And also brought to you by antidepressants. Can I have some, please? All right. We have this man who is at the end of his rope, he's living next to these neighbors who are just loud as hell, keeping him awake at night. He kind of likes this girl at work. His wife, ex-wife, I should say, is, I don't know, I guess marginalized him in her life and she's moved on. His daughter hates him. It's a country music song, pretty much. Let's see. He loses his job because he flirted a bit too much and got a bit too stalkerish with the girl he liked at work. And then his doctor tells him doesn't tell him exactly how long he's got to live because, well, he gets called on his cell phone. Yep. He just tells him shows him he has a tumor and that he's going to die. And that's pretty much it.
Yep.
So he's getting ready to kill himself, and for some reason he decides to watch TV before he does that. Mm-hmm. And he sees one of these Sweet 16 shows and decides instead of killing himself, he is going to kill the spoiled brat on the Sweet 16 show. Mm-hmm. So he does, and he winds up impressing a fellow high school student of the classmate of the Sweet 16 person, who joins him on a cross-country killing spree, killing various people that they find annoying and are just for being mean, of course, everybody's story, spoiler alert here, if you did not see this coming, but everybody's story is not what they appear to be, and but yet he still continues his spree anyway, and their hilarity ensues.
Kind of. I think it was supposed to.
I don't know. This was the beginning part of them, like, just completely taking his life apart was tough to watch.
Yeah. And you say he goes off the rails, or I forget exactly how you put it, but
I put it, he was at the end of his
rope. End of his rope, that's it, yes. He's kind of there before they say he is, because in that very first scene, the neighbors are making noise and the baby's crying and yada yada. He fantasizes not just about killing them, but killing the kid.
Right, which was, that is a clue for how far he's willing to go in this, that he's not going to just...
He's already slipped his tether before he goes on the killing spree or attempts to kill himself. He's already there at the beginning of the movie.
And of course he would shoot the kid because the kid is the source of the noise.
But it just kind of made me wonder if we're supposed to relate to and or sympathize with him.
Well, definitely. They have to do this heavy-handed, he lost everything sort of thing for us to sympathize with him, because if we're not with him, yeah.
And I wasn't. Largely because he fantasized about shooting an infant. He lost me right there.
I don't know if that was just sort of a joke in the movie or not.
I just never sympathized with him and related to him. I was never on his side.
Well, you kind of do because you see his point about what's out there and how we are as a society devolved and all of that stuff that we've discussed in Idiocracy already.
But that's the thing. I agreed with the vast majority of what he said. I just didn't like him. So I wasn't on his side. And you're right about Idiocracy. This would be a great companion piece to it. I kind of
Yeah.
wish we could have done them back to back in hindsight.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Thing is, this is just as heavy-handed as Idiocracy. Actually, no, it's more so. I actually
Oh,
want to.
definitely.
I hereby apologize to Mike Judge for complaining about the heavy-handedness in Idiocracy.
I mean, you know what I was thinking the entire time I was watching this movie? I was thinking of your criticism of Kevin Smith
Yes.
for having the dialogue, his dialogue throughout all of his characters. Because, I mean,
To reiterate for those who don't know, my complaint about a lot of Kevin Smith's writing is that you can clearly see when the character stops talking and when Smith starts talking through the
I mean,
character.
if you can find me a 16-year-old that feels that way about Alice Cooper, I will shut the fuck up. But come on. That was obviously Bobcat Goldthwait
Yeah, well,
talking
yeah.
about Alice
And
Cooper.
I think he maybe gave him a little too much credit. I mean, I like Alice, all due respect. He was very much a leader in a trendsetter,
Of
but
course. But you don't need to run down Bowie. Holy fuck.
yeah. It's a little much. But the thing is, this is more heavy-handed than Idiocracy and less entertaining. Because as much as I criticize Idiocracy, there are lines that I still remember fondly and laugh at in my head
Right.
when I think of them. You know, Brondo is what Kip plants crave, or you know, water, you mean like from out the toilet? You know, go away, Baton. These things still make me chuckle.
That's true. Go away, Baden is a really solid line.
There was nothing in this movie that was anywhere near that entertaining. And Frank at one point goes on this rant about how these, you know, drive time controversial DJs are just pandering to the audience. Is it just me or did that feel like, you know, the pot calling the kettle black?
Ooh, I think you are onto something. 'Cause where does it end, you know? I mean, where does original thought come from? Yeah, once you get down that road of you can't just regurgitate what you've heard elsewhere, then you're like, how are you pulling original thought? How are you creating original thought? Nothing is born in a vacuum. Everything is from something.
I looked up a few movies while I was watching this one because my attention wandered, I'll just say that. Falling Down was released in 93,
Right.
Idiocracy in 2006,
Right.
Super in 2010. That's a little too close to possibly be have been ripped off, but Idiocracy and Falling Down, it's basically the bastard child of both of those films.
I Super does strike me a lot more. Yeah. Now, you know what? I had forgotten that Super was before this.
Yeah, barely though. This was released to, I said 2012 because that's when it went to theaters. It was released to festivals in 2011. It was probably being shot when Super was released. So I don't know if there was much cross-pollination there or if it was just a zeitgeist thing.
Because I mean that is yeah, I had not thought of that.
Yeah, they're very, very similar. Throughout the entire movie, I could just hear Goldthwait saying, "I'm just saying what everybody else is thinking." Like that is the mantra of the film. I mean, the line is said like four times, but it's very much the mantra of the film.
True.
And it's kind of, you know, what I think Goldthwait was claiming he was doing while he was, you know, writing it. Another issue I have, criticizing the logic, or I should say nitpicking the logic in this film, is like nitpicking the science in an asylum film. There's a lot here that doesn't make sense.
There's nitpicking, and then there's taking the overall premise, you know?
Well, yeah, and you have to accept a lot of things that were very, very convenient just
Well,
to go
here's
with
the
it.
problem. I don't know. Maybe if you want to take a piece of logic first and start,
Okay.
go by all means, because you sound like you were onto something first.
There's a few things. How did she find his hotel room?
Yeah, okay. So you are nitpicking. You are in
That's
the
why I corrected
details.
myself and said nitpicking, not criticizing. Yeah. If you want to get into the general logic of the premise, that's another story. I let that go.
I didn't think that was that big a deal because he was driving the big fucking yellow car, and you know, you can't miss it. And of course, we could start the yellow car principle now.
Well, just okay, let me just hit a couple more points with of
Okay.
logic. Their faces were clearly on television after the movie theater shooting.
Oh, by all means, they should have been caught. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
They're very freely walking around the city. She returns home, her face is on the news again after it had just been on the news for the killing weeks before, presumably weeks before.
And she was missing at that point. I mean, they didn't show that she was missing, but she was missing at that point.
Yeah, and so why didn't anybody, recognize her when, she was clearly shown walking into the theater?
Yeah.
That was really the big logical issue that got me.
Well, my problem, and I think that this just works about the whole thing in general.
Okay.
What is meaner than shooting someone?
Yeah, if you want to get into that basic principle. See, I let that go because he's insane. He has just lost it. He's had a psychotic break. Let's just say that.
All right. Yeah.
She's just psychotic to begin with, or psychopathic, probably more likely. She doesn't have a break. She's just broken to begin with.
But, you know, if your principle is that you are killing people who are mean.
Yeah, well, that's my point, is they're not sane, so I'm not worried about their internal logic.
All right. But the film is, you know, kind of celebrating what they're doing,
Yeah,
right?
well, that creates another problem. I'm not going to complain about, the logic of, killing people that are mean. They're both insane. That's their logic. I can accept that. But the moral voice of the film is effectively a serial killer.
Right.
Makes the message a little hard to take seriously,
Right.
despite how heavily it's hammered down.
Yeah. Should we now get to the yellow car principle?
Okay, yeah.
It's not very complicated, and I still think it would make a great episode title, of course. But the principle is, and I don't know what percentage of listener we're going to piss off by saying this.
And do you want to properly credit this?
Oh, do you think I should credit to Mrs. Scotto?
Yeah, like, well,
I
I mean.
guess I just did.
Mm.
That anyone who drives a yellow car is an asshole. There, it's out there. I've said it. If you in fact drive a yellow car, send us an email and prove us wrong.
I don't exactly remember when, but I know I've heard this before. And I've been car shopping recently. I was.
Please tell me you're going to buy a
Oh,
yellow
no.
car.
I was very careful to avoid yellow. Aside from the fact that I hate the color, but for that reason as well.
You know what? I have no idea what really is the reasoning behind this, other than I guess it's a bright car, and it's I guess a hey look at me thing,
Very much so. More so than red, even.
which Mrs. Scotto just disapproves of.
We
What
tend
more
to
could I
agree on that.
say?
Yeah.
That is it. That is all, as they say.
Oh, another logical issue I have. I guess you could call it a logical issue. Frank seems to shoot very nervously and kind of hesitantly, but he's a hell of a shot.
Well, I think they established that he was in the service at
They
one
do.
point.
When he opens the box, there are
You
some
see his dog
patches there,
tags,
yeah,
yeah.
the dog tags. But when he shoots, he kind of trembles a bit and it's hesitant, but he manages to shoot a guy through his phone with one hand.
I didn't notice him trembling all that much.
He just looked uncomfortable with the gun, which could be Joel Murray just, not knowing what he was doing with it. But the character, if he's going to make that shot, should be shooting more confidently.
I thought it added a nice, I don't know, if he wasn't exactly confident with a gun, it would add more to his character of not.
Well, yeah, yes. And if he hadn't made that shot, I wouldn't complain. But that was a million in one shot.
Yeah, they did establish that he was a great shot, even in the scene when they were practicing.
So, if he's that good, he should be more confident with the gun. And probably hold it with two hands. But that's real nitpicking.
Well, they even mentioned that about one hand versus two.
Well, he
When,
tells her to hold it with both hands.
right. If he's familiar with the gun, he can do it with one.
But, I mean, I've never shot, but from what I understand, anybody who's actually shooting uses two most of the time. If you want any kind of accuracy, it's two hands.
It depends on how many times you fired it.
I suppose.
If I were firing, I would definitely need two because, I'm not familiar with the kick and all that. But yeah, I imagine after firing enough times, you know how it's going to go after it goes off. I'd be able to use one.
A lot of this information from me is coming from MythBusters. They actually tested the different kinds of grips, and
Really?
one hand was definitely less accurate. And then, they also did the crossed arms and, to the sides, two at once and all of that sort of thing.
It depends on how many times, how you practice
I
too.
suppose, and how familiar you are with the gun and all of that, but
If you practice with one hand, that then you're going to be better with one hand.
the one-handed thing didn't bother me that much. That's a trope. That's just, a thing they do in movies. So I wasn't nitpicking that so much as just the lack of confidence that he showed.
The lack of confidence plus great accuracy.
And well, speaking of the violence in the film, is it just me or did Roxy seem like a direct rip of Hit Girl?
Well, right. I mean, you couldn't, it was just kind of screaming out the whole thing, you know?
And Kick-Ass is another of those sort of vigilante movies that this was taking from. Or
Yeah.
not just movies, because Kick-Ass started as a comic well before it was a movie. So that had to be another influence.
But yeah, the whole thing about the older guy and the young girl.
It was actually the scene where he was teaching her to shoot where I just realized Big Daddy and Hit Girl.
Yeah.
Oh, also, again, I have the movie restates its message way too much. Every 10 minutes, Frank is ranting about the message of the film. It's got way old. To the point where when he's doing that speech at the end, even though Joel Murray was working his ass off in that scene, and I greatly respect the performance,
Yeah.
it just felt like more of the same. And I kind of tuned it out. And I feel bad because it was some brilliant acting.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd be able to, if you're not stating why he's doing it, I don't know how the audience could even follow along with it, you know?
But they stated every 10 minutes.
They do.
Every time they're in the hotel room, they rant about who they're going to kill and why they're going to kill them.
And she has, a much greater list than he does, and they even violate their own rules at several times.
She's just going after people she doesn't like because she's a
Right.
psychopath.
I think he does, they even cross that those rules on purpose, like
Oh, yeah.
him going for high fives and stuff.
Yeah. Another logical issue I had in the scene where they're kind of parked outside his wife's house, and
Yeah.
the new husband walks up, who's a cop. He's talking to him through the window, and you can clearly see that he makes the assumption that Frank and Roxy are sleeping together.
Yeah.
And she is clearly underage. And yet the cop is okay with this. Just seemed odd.
Well, I mean, come on.
Oh, also, running over the preacher would have spiderwebbed the windshield. There's a scene where there's this Westboro Baptist kind of group protesting, and they attack them, and they run over the preacher, and he rolls over the hood of the car and over to the top and hits the windshield. It would have spiderwebbed the windshield.
Probably, yeah.
That's just the one bit of science nitpicking I had to do. And just a couple points about the ending. Frank shoots the developmentally disabled guy for being just like everybody else. What was he expecting?
Well, I don't think he was as disabled as he was letting on, is
Possibly.
what had come out
Okay,
there.
maybe I missed that.
Another spoiler alert there. But yeah, nobody is who they seem to be, you know. And he just kind of like, I didn't try to kill myself because, they made fun of me. They
Because he
weren't letting me
wanted.
on the show.
Right, he wanted to be on TV.
And he pretty much, his cadence and voice had completely changed when he sang that line.
Okay, I didn't really pick up on that.
Oh,
That
yeah.
explains it. And again, I'm just going to spoil the ending.
All right.
They die. They both get shot by the cops. And I can't even appreciate that they died at the end because they were martyred. Frank just delivers this, incredible speech, and then they die, and, they're murdered, which just perpetuates it all. Again, I really didn't like either of them, so I think that's why the movie was lost on me.
I liked Frank. I think Frank had said a lot of great things in the movie, actually.
I can't disagree with the message. It was just heavy-handed and delivered by someone I hated. So.
I think the problem with the characters were that you kind of saw, like, the lies, were going to come out,
Yeah, the hypocrisy, yes.
Well, not even so, because Frank didn't have, the only hypocrisy Frank had was that, he's
People
being
for
mean
being
to
mean, yeah,
people
that's what I'm talking
that
about.
are being mean,
Yeah.
sure. But his whole, like, his disease not being real, which is, how many times has that been used in a
Oh,
movie
yeah,
too?
fair enough. Yeah.
Good God, the whole, like, you've got, like, the illness prescription, or, prognosis, and yet it, oops, it was a mistake kind of thing.
And you're gonna die soon, so you go out and do whatever it is you've always wanted to do, and oh, you're gonna live.
Right.
It's practically a trope in and of itself.
It definitely is. And the whole, story about the broken home and everything that, come on. You knew that wasn't real. I don't know if he wanted to believe it, or not. But I think a lot of the things he said are very, very much on point.
Oh,
Like,
absolutely.
I think the only part that he was getting into that hadn't really been covered by most other movies is the sexualization of kids.
Yes.
I think that's the only, like, territory that hasn't been covered elsewhere in these. I mean, it is kind of covered in Super.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, there's a pedophile that he attacks.
Well, yeah, but I well, y'all hate the pedophile. That's not a controversial statement. No, the statement is that we as older men are supposed to be attractive, we're supposed to be
Yeah.
attracted to underage girls.
But I don't remember them really covering that in Super. That's what I'm saying. Aside from the pedophile scene.
Oh yeah, where he just like, he doesn't want anything to do with her in that
Oh,
way.
right, right. Oh, right.
Of course,
The
she winds up
sidekick,
raping
right.
him.
Yeah.
But hey,
See, she read as older to me. She didn't read
that's
as a
true.
teenager.
She was a college age kid, so they didn't really go
He
there.
wasn't interested in her because he was in love with his ex-wife still. It
True.
wasn't her age so much.
True. So yeah.
So that was the point in this one that wasn't really hammered in by Idiocracy.
And he wasn't even heavy-handed about it.
That's true.
He gets to the one point where he is finding himself being attracted to her.
See, I never really picked up on that.
Oh yeah. In the hotel, she's, showering and she had the door open.
She closed the door, so he, I guess it was more of a temptation thing. I took it more as, it's just he doesn't want to see it, so he closes the door.
You think about it, he closes the door and then he goes back to the guy that was in the
Attacks the guy who
diner.
thought she was a hooker, right?
Yeah, and kills him for that very reason because he is very much becoming attracted to her at that point.
I get it.
It's probably the most nuanced part of the whole film,
Well, yeah.
actually.
See, I never thought about that, but if he had just wanted to kill him because he was trying to buy an underage girl, he would have killed him much earlier.
Right, and he was fine with it. He was letting it roll off him. He hated the guy for it. But then he was in the room, she's got the
Right.
door open, he's just like, you could see like the tension. And again, brilliant fucking performance. Oh
Oh, and I checked the dates. She was 18 when it was made, so.
yeah. She's just playing 16.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like Joel Murray's performance in this.
I can't criticize any of the performances. It was shot well. It was, technically made well. I can't criticize it on any of those levels. It's just the writing.
And
Tara Lynn
Tara
Barr.
Lynn Barr, I don't know. Now you got to figure like which one like who was the best actress of the three now that we were talking about Kick-Ass, Super, and this. since they are pretty much playing
Chloe Moretz was young when she did Kick-Ass, and
the
she was
same
really good.
parts. Yeah, it is tough to beat her.
I think I have to give it to Chloe Moretz because she was so much younger.
And she carried that movie, really.
Tara Lynn Barclay second.
Like Nicolas Cage, I mean, he could just let her run with it,
Right.
and really he's the sidekick in
Yeah,
the way.
very much. Which is why it bugs me that they cut that one really heart-wrenching scene where she asks Kick-Ass for a hug after her father dies.
Yeah.
It's in the book, for those who don't know. One bit of trivia. The book that Frank lends the receptionist, which kind of led to him getting fired, is Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Which is an odd choice for a man who's out of pop culture.
I think they just want to throw it in there because, maybe Bobcat's a fan of the book or something.
I would think so too.
I'm done with my notes.
Yeah, I did not have many notes actually on this.
No sequels or remakes, I mean, unless you want to talk about Falling Down. So, on to Brains.
On to Brains.
Like I said, it was well shot. The performances are really good, particularly Joel Murray. Beyond that, I hated it. I'm going one.
Oh wow. I can't say I liked this movie, but I damn well respected it.
It's like me with Black Rainbow again.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has some very good points. I just the way he expresses them, well, and the way, of course, they're resolved, just don't make that much sense.
No.
I'm going three brains.
All right. And what have we learned?
We learned to, I don't know, just turn the damn television off.
And I learned that Falling Down actually did get a remake. Have I hit that joke enough?
I think you did.
Right, so until next week when we'll be reviewing Bunraku, this will be interesting. Go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. You also find the movie list. Every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review, up through 218, I believe, I Declare War. We might want to add some more to that soon. We're getting a little close. You also find the request form. If you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form. We'll get to it. And, of course, the recommendations list. This never had a chance. You can also email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. I've learned if I take that very slowly, you're not inclined to interrupt.
What? What are you talking about?
Of course, always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee, and until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
Ah, come on, I'm just saying what you're all thinking.
Zombie takeout.
I like zombie. Take that again. It was just a little too fast after I hit the button. I don't quite trust it.
Okay.